out. Was easy. It's the BDS Jeezy, the BDS J. Get them bonita fish like Bobby Flay. What's going on, guys? The audio development journal, or Jeezy, I should say. Number X, as per usual. We do that shit later. We're gonna go all the way in on this one. We're going deep. We got a lot to cover. So, first off, I'm in the TSN Dragon's Den, you know, maxing, relaxing last night. And this nigga come at me like, you know, what you think? Like, what you think? You solve the double spend problem again? Like, this nigga think he can reinvent consensus mechanisms and shit. Thinking he reinventing the wheel. Well, that got to me. It's like, well, let me answer your question with another question, right? Like, how many ambidigitals do you see modeling? So that's what this one's gonna be about, right? And it's just that. It's a question. It's not a statement. It's gonna be about, have we resolved the Byzantine genitals a problem, right? And now, of course, you know, there's the Byzantine genitals problem versus his tolerance, right? There's the Byzantine's full tolerance or lack thereof. You know, do these genitals have full tolerance for each other? And how do they know if one of them, you know, has broken the rules and is not fully tolerant, then they know not to be tolerant of him. So there's Byzantine, these genitals, full tolerance or lack thereof. And then there's the Byzantine genitals problem. So these genitals, they got a problem, and they got to decide what the state is, you know, of an event at any given time. And so in order to solve the problem of these Byzantine genitals, they have to figure out a way to determine and universally agree upon when an event has occurred, and multiple events, the ordering therein of is an extension of his these genitals problem that they have. Is how do you determine the sequence of these events, and then further as applied to, in the case of Bitcoin, money. So, you know, by solving the problem of agreeing on the sequence of events, you've effectively solved the double spend problem, or as I see it, right? So we're going to get into all that. Have we solved the problem of these Byzantine genitals? And we're going to get into subsig pages, because Jay brought this up. And great point by Jay, right? We'll get in deep, but do you have to have sub pages within these TSN reference signature pages and TSN reference thread pages? I think the answer is yes. And by doing it is how we figure that out. That's just a good rule of life. You know, you can, or even with this type of stuff more specifically, you can set out to solve a problem and write 1,000 pages of paper, or try and do that, or document it, or whatever, but you don't figure it out without actually doing it. So that's how we'll get into the realization that there should be these sub-sig pages. Further on that note, it also brought me to the realization that we need better labeling for this TSN reference versus referring to a TSN reference versus now we have these thread channel, you know, unique replies, and so what is that called when you're replying to a reply, which isn't technically a TSN reference because it's using 2 out of 3, and so you come across this labeling problem, which isn't really a problem because by labeling the labeling problem, we have identified what needs to be clarified, such as with just said, and such as with, as I spoke about in the last one, the difficulty in describing the difficulty hurdles, right? Or the difficulty adjustment and how that's going to work with regard to the TSN as opposed to the Bitcoin network. So we're going to get into all that, right? So Papa Squat. Now, so last night, right? So this nigga come at me like, what do you think, you Satoshi or something? You fucking reinvented consensus. And first of all, if you got a problem with the way I speak, I'm a rapper, so fucking it's allowed. Check the code. Rappers are allowed to say the word nigga. Now, LTC Joe, that nigga's kind of a racist, but since he's black, it's okay. Now, I got a problem with that because that whole code is flawed. It's like, well, you know, just because you're black, you're allowed to say certain words. I don't think so. The shit doesn't jive with me because, so, isn't that racist? Like, you're only allowed to say certain words based on the color of your skin? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And you could get into, you know, this cultural appropriation bullshit. Apparently they think it's inappropriate to imitate another culture, right? Cultural inappropriation or appropriation, whatever you think it is. But imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, is, you know, what this nigga says. So, fucking code aside, let's really get into it. Let's dive in. And fucking the question, right, of have we solved the double spend problem is, I think, a very good question. Resolved, I should say. Now, the nuance here is there could not be more of it, right? So let's touch on a few prerequisite ideas. First off, I've laid out the core. Let's stop calling it the core, right? As we go on, we improve these linguistic confusions. Not the core protocol, the base layer protocol, which is being finalized, is valuable enough in its own right that without any financial aspect, you have essentially recreated the ability to do financial, you've recreated the ability to do social media without these huge monolithic, these huge social media tech giants. So if you want to pretend that's not valuable, that's fine, but that's a huge concept in and of itself. And that's kind of how it's going to go, is people will have to start using it as that first before there's enough people using it, whereas other layers above, which include these financial aspects, become more useful because you need people to mine your cloud, you need these server feeds, and so on and so forth. So until people are using the base layer, the second layers don't become more valuable. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to be working on it and thinking about it. And so that's what we're going to touch on with this, have we resolved the double spend question? So the first aspect is we don't need the financial aspect for this to be useful. Second aspect, and this is a big one, you can create a financial aspect without even having any form of your own clout, right? Your own unique clout token. you can recreate that by simply having a directory which acts like a Patreon type of thing or any of those services, and you know, you don't release some content to all of your followers, you only release to specific ones. There's no fucking reason you can't accept credit cards, PayPal, if you want to be a fucking retard, or, you know, on your own server, or if you want to just be smart and accept Bitcoin, you know, without any token, you could still recreate a Cloudtreon directory, which could be an interim thing, like people are using it for social media and they want to just, they're tired of being censored or whatever it is, just do Cloudtreon with Bitcoin. I guess with PayPal and with credit cards, their Patreon is accepting on your behalf, so then you're taking on that risk and blah, 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 blah. So just do it with Bitcoin or do it however you please. The point is, all these fucking things, Twitter, Facebook, and then fucking Patreon, whatever, in all these different places, why wouldn't you want them to just be in one place? You're like, why do I have to go to someone who I follow's YouTube, and why do I, then I have to go to their Twitter, and then I have to go to their Patreon if I want to be a fucking donor to them, or, you know, like, why shouldn't it be all in one place? And so that's the future it's going to move towards. So, first aspect, the base layer is valuable in its own right for redoing social media without social media. Second aspect, you can do a Cloudtreon-like thing without any token. Now, third aspect, the token, with all the technology today, incredibly easily can just be a smart contract on an altcoin or on Bitcoin. A smart contract which takes care of the consensus in and of itself of these payments for your Cloudtreon or whatever it's going to be. That's easy, exists today, and can be implemented today. So, three aspects, consider them all before you consider the fourth aspect, which is, could you do your own cloud token or abacus or whatever the best word to call it is without even doing a smart contract? In other words, have we resolved the double spend problem? Okay, now we're getting to the meat of it. The answer is, I don't know. The answer is, maybe. So, even if there's a chance that the answer is maybe, that's fucking huge, and you won't know if the answer is no or yes without actually researching it, trying it, and all that. So let me get into it. First of all, there's theory versus practice, right? So, Bitcoin is a digital gold for the entire fucking globe, which aims to be, you know, the basis of a global, scarce, sound monetary system that everyone in the world, billions of people, depend on for sending, you know, tens and hundreds of billions of value, eventually trillions and more, on this one system that everyone needs. And if it doesn't work, then it's going to stop growing and we're all fucked. So, but we know it works, so that's the good thing. But the point is, that's what Bitcoin is. Your own the potential ability to create your own token, which would depend upon resolving this double spend problem, is an incredibly smaller scale. If it were to work, it would be for paying for your Cloudtreon, it would be for your Cloud Chat, it could be for advertising, it could be for a few things which I've touched on briefly in the past, but, and it could be for consignment, it could be for whatever. The point is, the only person who gets screwed, right? Well, a little more than that, but you are the main person who gets screwed if this does not work. And outside of that, you're talking about, you know, how much does someone pay to subscribe for a Patreon per year? You're talking about, like, fucking $20, $50, $100, maybe more, I don't know, but this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about a global monetary system, so let's be clear about all that. You know, you're being fucking hashtag reckless by, if you wanted to try this down the line when it's more researched and thought out and clarified, and the people who would use it to pay you are being hashtag reckless, right? So that's that. Let's get into the fucking nitty-gritty. Let's give some examples and some names, right? Let's do the fucking cryptography bullshit. So we got Alice, Bob, and maybe Charlie, who own BTC Joe's clout, right? They've successfully mined it and waited the cold coin period and all that. And let's assume we're doing the, you know, that I have my own token, right? Not, it's not a smart contract in another altcoin, right? It's my own token. So what is the problem? If Alice owns my clout, and again, ideally the idea is for Alice, it's useful for her to use with me, right? BTC Joe. But nonetheless, if these had a non-zero value, which they should have a non-zero value, right? Then a market of supply of demand. The point is, there would be other transactions outside of just Alice paying BTC Joe, Bob paying BTC Joe. Maybe for whatever reason, the token wants to be transferred between them, whether it's for a market exchange or whatever it is, right? So if Alice is going to pay Bob BTC Joe's token, Bob needs to know that Alice hasn't also paid Charlie, right? This is the classic double spend problem. Nothing new. So what is an Alice paying Bob BTC Joe's clout transaction look like in order to solve this problem? And so how are we going to format this transaction? With which assurances, by who and how, so that, you know, Bob can be assured that Alice hasn't double spent him to Charlie. Now, the way we do all this is going to depend on a few major questions. The first question is, have we truly created these tamper-evident historical records of content and TSN references? And the answer, I believe, is yes, we have, with the stipulation, if you are following the protocol correctly and honestly, right? So, and this gets back to practicality, right? Before there's a financial aspect, there's no incentive to not follow the protocol honestly. If you want to do social media without social media, you follow the protocol. Obviously, I can just post a bunch of shit on a website and not sign it and not, you know, create these accounts and all, follow all the rules of the protocol. No one's going to stop you. But then no one can interact with you successfully knowing that it's you and blah, 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 blah. If you, like, there's no incentive to break the protocol rules, and now it's clear, or it's once this once the base layer is finalized, it's pretty clear what constitutes breaking these rules, right? And so the point is, there's not much incentive to break the rules. Now, when you add a financial aspect, then you have to start thinking adversarially, right? Like, then there's at least a small incentive to try and not be honest, to try and cheat the protocol, even though, again, this is, like, really small values, like recreating payments donors and the Patreon or whatever it is, that type of stuff, is, you know, it's not a big incentive, but there is an incentive. So you have to start thinking about things differently. How could I cheat the system, right? So again, if you're honest, you've pretty much already resolved the double spend problem, because Bob, if Alice is going to pay Bob, that's a TSN reference with a specific format, right? And Bob has to see it in Alice's block. So, you know, and especially once the block is confirmed, right, or once it's being built on with his next block, then easy peasy, you've already solved it. But the tricky part is like, well, maybe Alice is, let's talk about a few dynamics. And I'm sorry if I get a little bit loud at times, but these actually is, they sometimes get to me. But so Alice is gonna try and cheat the system. She's gonna try and pay double spend Bob to Charlie. So what would that look like? There's two scenarios the way I see it. First off, Alice, within the rules actually, can create the transaction to Bob and put it in her block, but before publishing the block, she can remove that transaction and then publish the transaction in her block to Charlie. And so that's within the rules. Bob should know that it hasn't been confirmed, right? So that's scenario one, and it's within the base layer rules. So you'd have to kind of create rules on top of this base layer to prevent that. Scenario two, okay, is Alice is going to put the transaction to Bob in her block, right? She's even going to publish the block, right? And then what she's going to do is she's going to remove the block that she just published from her blockchain and create her own orphan, right? She's gonna intentionally remove that block and start creating content on another block. And there's, in practice, a lot of trickiness with this because of the timing of it all, and people are mining your blocks in real time. So, nonetheless, given we assume that she can do this, you have to prevent that she's going to not be honest. Okay, the point is, so she's breaking the she's not following the protocol when she does that. In the prior example, she is following the base layer protocol. That's within the rules. In the second example, she is cheating. She's not an honest actor anymore. She's removing her block. But nonetheless, thinking adversarially, what happens if she just does that, you know? Like, so can she get away? How do you prevent her getting away with doing that? And after how much time can you be sure of a transaction? And what type of assurances do you have? What can you do to provide certain assurances, like in the Lightning Network, that there's been, that you're not going to get double spent? And lastly, before the base layer protocol is finalized, is there anything we want to tweak in that which could help, you know, the layers above in the future? So since it's not finalized, we have the advantage of thinking about these things down the line now, okay? So what I think is it may, just may, be possible to do this way down the line with a lot of research and all that. We'll see with time. Here's the key innovation, right? Is the the TSM protocol helps you establish these historical individual timelines of the history of your content. So that's the innovation. That could not happen without the distributed, decentralized timestamping system or clock that is Bitcoin. So that's what's new here. Like, many people have thought about the innovation of Bitcoin, but they haven't really said, well, now that we have this decentralized clock, what can we do to, like, what else does that really enable if we think about it creatively? So that's what the TSM protocol is. And given that you are honestly following the TSM protocol, like, then you can almost, what I'm proposing is resolve the double spend problem in these individual unique cloud tokens, right? Because you have this record. If you didn't have this record that you couldn't depend upon of these events that you are doing, right, which does depend on the Bitcoin clock in order to create, and we got into in a few ones ago how you can anchor, how you're going to be needed to, in order to start this record, anchor it in the actual Bitcoin blockchain by opening up an account which is embedded immutably in the blockchain, right? And then everyone is seeing you create content by following these rules, which is establishing the time throughout in your references and in your blocks and creating this blockchain of your own content. So anyway, now we have these individual content historical records. So here's how you could potentially resolve the double spend problem in your own unique token that depends on your own record, amongst a few other things that can create these assurances, which is sort of like the Lightning Network in a way. One of the main differences here is the Lightning Network settles to the Bitcoin blockchain, okay? You'll see eventually there could be some elements of that similar to what you do with accounts, where there could be these watchtowers which serve these justice transactions that do involve the Bitcoin blockchain, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so already you can do a lot with these assurances, these lightning-like assurances, right? Which we're kind of using in a sense in thread channels. And so let me get into how this applies to transactions with Alice, Bob, and Charlie. What does Alice do? The first thing she does is she creates this transaction to Bob, and you know it's going to have to reference, again, the linguistics needs to be clarified with referencing a TSN reference versus what a TSN reference is something with these 3 out of 3 signing properties, but nonetheless, Alice is going to reference the TSN reference where she mined, where she successfully mined BTC Joe's cloud. That's the input of the transaction, right? And then she's going to include the address it's being sent to, which is the output, which in this case is Bob, okay? So, and there's probably going to be a lot of other details that will have to be included in this layer, right, of how you form a transaction. But that's the essence of it, right? And an amount, right? And whatever needs to be put in. Now, Alice, as intending to send Bob this payment, she first pings her client, pings Bob, right, and sends the transaction. So Bob has the transaction. Second, she includes it in her block because it's a TSN reference, like everything else has to go in her block. Once she does that, that's the first level of assurance that Bob has, that he has received Alice's payment. He has the transaction, which is clearly put to him, and he sees that Alice has included it in her own TSM block. Now, once Bob sees that Alice has included it in her block, and she's begun building on the next block on top of that block, right? Now, obviously, all this, you're going to have about, on average, one block per day. So this gets into, like, how we sort of tweak these parameters. Do we want it to be that, and so on and so forth? And how important is it, this aspect, right? But nonetheless, let's stay on topic. So Alice sends Bob the transaction. She puts it, that's his first assurance. She puts it in her own block. That's his second assurance. Then eventually she builds on that block, which is like an Alice confirmation, which is his third assurance. So then he puts it in his own block and eventually builds on that. And in a non-adversarial ideal world, they go along happily ever after and there's no problem. It's embedded in history, and as long as everyone's following the rules, we're fine. Now, obviously that's not what this is about. Now we're thinking adversarially. And a lot of this is probably going to be judgment used on the recipient of the transaction, right? Like how much value is involved, how much assurance do I need, and how much time needs to pass, just as it is with Bitcoin, right? You know, one, even on the almighty Bitcoin blockchain, one confirmation is not a final transaction. It could be orphaned, right? So a lot of it, obviously there's limits of where you know it is, and there's going to be a similar type of thing here. We have much bigger blocks as of now. So there's a similar thing here, but it's not universal money, and it's much smaller amounts. And so theory versus practice. So anyway, thinking adversarially. And zooming back out, two major questions become is how do we prevent people from who are not honest actors from intentionally orphaning their own blockchains, right? Whether in the context of a transaction or anything else, but really the only incentive as of now is for a transaction. That's question one. And question two is, do we want to tweak the base layer at all to prevent such, or is it just certain like assurance levels on top? Those are the two main questions just to keep in your pocket, right? So back to the adversarial scenario where Alice is going to intentionally orphan her block to try and cheat Bob by double spending Charlie. To Charlie.